All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Rink Rat Report podcast, recording this one Monday. We're watching the demise of the Tampa Bay Lightning at the moment. Can't say I like it because I hate both teams in this series, so it is what it is. At least one of them gets to lose. That's always a positive, am I right? As always, joined by Jason.
How's it going? In not the best spirits, but we go on.
Exactly. Another day. The sun will come up tomorrow. Exactly. So that's not guaranteed anymore, it seems like. The moon might cover it, for heaven's sakes. My God. Anyways, we're going to be getting into a little bit of game four. Game four just passed. Mainly prep for game five. What's going to happen? What needs to happen in game five? We know what happened in game four. Everyone shit the bed. They shit themselves. It happens. It is what it is. But mainly we're going to be getting into game five. They need to win game five. They're going to win game five. There will be a game seven. Putting my stamp on that. I just cannot get out of my head. Like, the Leafs are down 3-1. I just still think, okay, Saturday I'm watching game seven. Why would I, like, tentative plans, maybe, but just like plans.
Not to make plans this about me, seven. Not to make this about me, but as some people who've been listening to this show know that I'm running a half marathon. So if this game goes to game seven, if this series goes to game seven, excuse me, my half marathon is 8 a.m. the next day on Sunday. So if this game goes to game seven, I'm going to be either incredibly miserable at waking up at 6:30, getting food in me, going to run 21 kilometers. A lot of fun. By the way, I've never ran that much in my life. Or I'm going to be incredibly hungover and happy, but I have to run 20. It's a lose-lose proposition for me here. Either
what's the highest you're at right now?
The most distance I've ran?
Yeah.
13 kilometers.
Oh, wow. So that's
not to get into the...
You're not supposed to, I know.
You're not supposed to run. Still, yeah.
I thought you were supposed to get to like 15, no?
Yeah, you could do that. I run mostly based on time and heart rate. But all right. If anyone wants to ask about my routine, I'm sure they can hit me up on Twitter.
Sounds good. Anyways, before we get into all that, we have a little giveaway for the people. None of this sponsored message. None of the buy this, which you should. Manscaped, DraftKings. They've been very supportive. Not to discredit them, but our sponsor reached out to us, my friend Matthew Miele, and he said, hey, I need you to give a jersey to the people of Leafs Nation. I need you to give this jersey to people. So we're doing just that. There are no legal stipulations with this contest. There are no script I was given. I typed something up. I sent it to him. I'm like, how's this? He's like, yeah, it's fine. I really don't care. He even said, I don't even need to say SVP Sports, but I have to. SVP Sports is giving us a jersey to give away to the people of Leafs Nation. I came up with this beautiful brain of mine. The contest is going to be this. Comment on our YouTube page on this episode with who you think has been the best player for the Leafs this playoffs. Kind of difficult to do, which... I don't know. I wanted you to work for it. So best player from the Leafs this playoffs on our YouTube page. You must be subscribing and we will announce the winner next episode. But there is a but. Here's the only legal stipulation I got for you here. If the Leafs win and there's a game six, contest stays open and another item is added. So the contest will end at the end of the series. If they win and go to game seven, contest stays open. At the contest closes at the buzzer of the end of the series. And if they go to game seven, I will make sure I'll reach out to SVP Sports and I will say, hey, gotta add another item. Price just went up. The stipulations to this, because I'm just a guy. You have to be in the GTA and you have to be able to meet me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
I'm not Niagara too far. Sorry. Halifax too far. Sorry. I'm not driving. I'm not flying. I have to be able to meet you by car under reasonable circumstances. So the GTA. And I will give you this jersey.
How about this? Okay? If the Leafs win the series, I'll ship it to anywhere in the world. I'll cover the shipping.
You can
cost.
Deal with that, sure.
I'll deal with that. I'll handle the shipping cost of it.
We'll figure that out. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. When they win.
How about this? If they make it to game seven.
When they win.
Okay.
So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But so anyways, SVP Sports, they have locations everywhere. I don't even have it up right now. SVP Sports is giving us this jersey. We're giving it to you guys. Comment on our YouTube page who has been the best Leafs player this playoffs, and you can win a jersey. Must be subscribed. Please make sure of that. So let's
you can get... also see if you're subscribed or not, by the way. I just want to let people know that as well.
Yes, apparently. I didn't know that. But anyways, we will announce it on the episode, so make sure you're listening, because, you know, if a certain amount of time passes and there's nothing, I will go on to the next one. You guys, I forget. I'm just a guy. I'm doing this off the seat of my pants. I will make sure that it's randomized, because I don't like when contests are rigged. I actually know of a contest that was Raptors Finals tickets, and it was rigged. It was not for me. Didn't benefit me. I just know of the company that did it. But that's a pretty big scumbag move. Anyways, shall we get into the nitty gritty of what we want
to see? Let's dive into it.
So for next game, what is the number one thing, Jason, that you want to see?
Goals. More than one, preferably.
More than two.
Well,
we were at two. We were at two. The bar was score more than two. Now we've actually had to lower it.
I mean, yeah, like at least like based off of last game, like you can't blame me for having those low expectations. But like, no, we actually need to score. That's non-negotiable. It's a must. It's a necessity. As much as there's a ton of things that you can point to, goalie, defense, whatever you want, special teams. I guess special teams comes into it because they're not scoring on special teams. But the bottom line is they're not scoring. So maybe, you know what? They need to score, but I'm going to take it one step further and say that they need to generate more chances from the slot. Because what's the best ways to score? Generate some chances from the slot. Kevin Bieksa, or maybe it was Elliot Freeman on the broadcast, astutely pointed out, as I was yelling at my TV during that first and second period, astutely pointed out between the second and third, hey, they're not shooting from the slot. Yeah, thanks. We only had one shot from the slot. It was very frustrating to watch.
Stathletes said that they had one scoring chance, and it was the Mitch Marner one, which I disagree, because I think that, the goal.
Yeah.
Okay. Megan Chaika only counted or maybe it was up until then, but I don't know. You want me to list out the scoring chances? That's how embarrassing it was. These were the scoring chances. 4-on-4, Matthews to Marner, the backhand on net. That was a pretty good chance there. Marner goal, that was a pretty good chance there. Lyubushkin crossbar, that was a good chance there. William Nylander, he had that midi breakaway within the zone. That was another good chance there. And then there was a couple Joel Edmondsons, and that was it.
So it's funny because
I memorized them. That's how embarrassing it was.
When you mentioned
that. How many chances did Boston get at 5-on-5?
They're
two goals. Maybe a couple in the third. Like, Wool made a couple good saves, but they had two chances that resulted in two goals at 5-on-5. And then, I don't know, the power play goal, we'll get into that. We'll break that down later. But it's been a very low event series, which unfortunately you're the Leafs. You scored one of the most amount of 5-on-5 goals this season. You were one of the highest scoring teams at all situations this season. You're not a low event team. You can't play like that. You don't have the horses to do so. Am I wrong?
No, you're pretty right. Like, I mean, we should be scoring. That's what's frustrating. Like, there's a lot of things that I can point to that, like, I feel like, there's a lot of issues, I think. There's just a lot of issues, period.
Yes.
And it stems from coaching all the way down to individual players. I don't even, I'm a little discombobulated. I don't know where to start. Like, I don't know how to go about this, but there's a lot of things.
Offense?
With the offense, it's just a lot. It's just not look good.
Do you want to get into some clips?
Do some clips first, because I.
Let's get into it. Tell me when I'm good to go.
You got to share first, but you'll be good to go in a sec here. There's a couple things that I'm bothered about, though. And I'm going to rant.
Name one. Let me see if I've got it.
Well, I'm obviously William Nylander comes back, injected into our lineup. That's supposed to be a big boost for us. I'm not picking on him.
This is it right here.
I'm not picking on him as a player. Okay, let me just go through this, then I'll pull you up here in a sec. I'm not picking on him as a player, but if you're on the third line, and I get in the third period, whatever, when Matthews didn't come back, things were jumbled, whatever. They played 6 minutes against JVR, Trent Frederick, and Danton Heinen. You tied the Corsi battle against those guys in 6 minutes. You didn't have any starts in your defensive zone. Majority of them were on the fly or they were in the offensive zone. And you didn't win those minutes by a landslide. That is a massive failure. I'm sorry. That is where our edge is in this series with Nylander back. Now it's gone because Matthews is probably not playing game six.
I can't believe we took this long to mention that.
Yeah. I don't know. If you can't play, like, that's another thing. If you're sick and you can't play, like, you better be medically deemed dead in my eyes, because, like, this is an elimination game. But anyways, that's besides the point. You got to win those minutes. That's our edge there. That's our edge there. That's all I wanted to get into. And yeah, anyways, I'll pull you up. You're good now. So if you want to go ahead and...
So you mentioned Nylander. This was just one play here. And the theme, before I click play, the theme that I'm going to get into here is puck movement being too slow. So it's right now, it's Matthews, Marner, Nylander. You can imagine what the camera cut to after this. For our own home broadcast is against us. I will just say that. That's lovely. Love to see that. Love to have that. But anyway, so the wins the faceoff. Riley cycles it up high to Nylander. Good pass, but it's blocked. Okay. Puck gets cycled down low, comes back along the boards. William Nylander gets it along the wall. He carries, spins back up, and then McCabe ends up taking a nothing shot, and it misses. The one part that kind of bothered me here, though, was, and this is where I think that source of that stupid argument that people are getting mad about, which I have no problem with the argument. It happens. Whatever. People are just dumb. Anyways, watch William Nylander here. So he has Marner down low. There's Matthews in the slot. He's pretty covered right now. There's three Boston players there. But watch as I click play again. Morgan Riley is creeping down low here. Hockey's a fast game. I don't really blame, like, you would like him to hit Mitch there, and then Mitch has got Morgan Riley backdoor, right? That's the play. That's the puck movement that you want. I am slowing things down. I am pressing stop. I am saying breaking it down from here. Easier said than done, obviously. However, I mean, $10.9 million. Can you see my mouse?
Yep.
$10.9 million, $11.5 million next year, $13.25 million, $7.5 million up here. And then Jake McCabe, thank God. Sit your stupid ass down, guy, in the Tavares jersey. Oh my, I hate when people do that. Anyways, stupid ass.
So
you have to recognize that you have to, like, what do you think is going to happen here? Look, it's a two-on-one. When you get it like this, it's two-on-one. Nylander and Marner on Kevin Shattenkirk here. And then it just ends up, they look unfamiliar with each other. Marner ends up just, like, blocking him almost. It's like, what the hell are you doing? But, like, I really don't think, I think the play was, like, so they win the faceoff, comes up. I think the play was Nylander to go, the puck, Morgan Riley to slide down low, and the puck to slide up to Nylander at the top, and then him to take this shot. And then Marner comes sneaking in there on the rebound, but he doesn't. And then the pass is blocked. Like, it's a whatever play.
Whatever. That part's fine.
Nothing, no harm, no foul. Just why am I bringing this up? The Leafs are not generating any sort of offense. Here is why. The puck movement is too slow in the defensive zone. Boston is doing a great job of smothering. You have to mention that as well. Like, look at this play up here. The puck comes up high to Nylander. There's barely a lane there. And then the passing option blocked right away. Why are the Leafs not generating offense? You need to be moving the puck quicker than this. You cannot be driving the net to nothing, turning around, and then you hit McCabe, and it's a nothing shot on net. Marner gets taken out. It is what it is. That was a slash, but that's neither here nor there. So that's number one. Puck movement is just way too slow. I'm noticing that they're not rim releasing, which is throw the puck around, win the puck battle, and try to, you know, get some movement going in the offensive zone. That's not really happening enough from what I've seen, right? Any thoughts on that?
No, yeah, no. If you can just rewind to the point where Nylander grabs the puck, because you made a great point here. It's like,
this is a great play by Nylander. Let's be honest fantastic. Here. That's a great play by Nylander. Seals off the wall, wins the puck battle, gets through. Look at that deke. Like, how do you do Trent Frederick boing, almost cartoon-like?
And then look, second he does that, look, he looks up, he sees Nylander, he sees Marner in the corner. He goes, looks left, sees Riley. He probably has the same idea to Marner as he wants to get it to Riley, but it's just like, you got to make that extra pass. And I know you said we're slowing it down here, but these guys are good enough to make those plays. This isn't me on the ice in men's league. These guys are good enough to make that play. He made a mistake there. And that's fine. People make mistakes on the ice all the time, but that's one of those things that it's like, I wonder if it's like a frustration sets in. He has like kind of the mindset of, I'm William Nylander, like, fuck you. I'm William Nylander. I can score on anyone. I can do, you know what I mean? Like, cause he kind of has that mindset where he's like, that F you attitude kind of thing, like towards the Bruins, where it's like, I can do this, right? But it's like, you just got to be like a little bit smarter with that play there. And honestly, you brought up a great point, because maybe that's what the argument was about, because Matthews and Marner were going at it with Nylander.
Because after they got to the bench, that's where they saw the first clip of Matthews saying something. Yeah, why would Matthews say something to Marner on this play? What the hell?
It makes no
sense. Nylander had the puck the entire time.
100%. And you could see that. It's not directed at Marner. It's directed past Marner, right? So like when Matthews
not is talking, to break it down like this, Zapruder
but,
films.
But I know, but it's funny. It's just great, fantastic editing from Sportsnet here.
We're talking about it
after Nylander yells at someone. You can't see who. They cut instantly to Marner. It's like a subliminal. It's not subliminal, but like that's basically what it is, right? That's what
they stitched it together to make it look more dramatic than it was.
Exactly.
Good on them for doing that. Anywho. So my next plays that I had here was the zone entries that I wanted to show. I posted on Twitter. Everyone's in agreement. Everyone that's tracking this is in agreement. The Leafs are not getting enough off the rush. Boston's doing a great job clogging up the neutral zone. But like, look at these simple plays here. So it was off the faceoff at center. Morgan Riley to Bertuzzi, who chips it in a little bit, just along the walls, enough for Marner to skate onto it. And it's a zone entry that ends up leading to the goal. It's not the cleanest play, as Marner's first pass is blocked. Lyubushkin's first shot is blocked. And then he's able to get it, make some magic, and boom, it's in the back of the net. But like, watch this. Like, this is, if you're watching on YouTube, which you should, this is horrific defending from Kevin Shattenkirk. You should absolutely not be on the wall. You have to be up
on the blue line where the dot is. Yeah.
Closer, like off the wall, and then you come down onto the wall. You don't want to be giving up the middle of the ice there.
Yeah.
But again, it's great defending from Boston, but it's a good play made by Bertuzzi. It's a good 2-on-1 kind of play from Marner as well to get that zone entry. Boom, you're playing with a little bit of speed. You're playing with a little bit of pace. Puck's in the back of the net. The second one here that I find hilarious, John Tavares goes cross ice to Nylander. He enters the zone, Bertuzzi crosses with him, and then look, Charlie McAvoy surfs over, tries to take out Nylander, boom, dishes the puck right there to Bertuzzi. Watch Bertuzzi on this play. Is this the cleanest zone entry you've ever seen? Absolutely not. It's a mess, but it leads to a scoring chance. Playing with a little bit of pace, switching it up a little bit instead of dumping it in every single time. Do you need fast players to do this? Like, is Bertuzzi a fast player? He was in on both of these zone entries. I don't know. Just one thing that I noticed, they have to work to do a little bit more to get these zone entries. And when you're watching, it's the support of the other players. Like Matthew Nyes is still not doing this very well. There was a play. McCabe is in an unfortunate position, and he's a defenseman, but like Nylander dangled McCabe at the blue line. Like, it's just not what you need. Right. So zone entries was another off the rush, trying to, like, this is the 19th year in a row, it feels like, that we're saying this off the rush. I've seen a lot of people say, oh, but they do it in the regular season. Not enough. Not really. They're not the greatest rush team in the regular season.
So it seems like
they should not be this bad. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, It's regardless of that. To me, it comes down to coaching, because I think this is an intentional thing from the coaching that we've seen for almost the last 2 or 3 years. since I feel like we started playing Tampa, where we made a more bigger effort to dump the puck in instead of trying to get rush chances. I get maybe the logic behind it, where it's harder to get rush chances because the talent pool, when you play, when you make the playoffs, the talent pool gets thinner, right? Like, or the teams get better. So the defense naturally get better, and the defense naturally are better at stopping the rush. That's just how it, the playoffs works. By the way, Florida just beat Tampa 5-1.
Yeah.
So they're out. Speaking of coaching, John Cooper, anyways, yeah, so it just seems like it's a coaching thing to me. I don't know. Do you agree with that? In that it feels like a coaching thing.
I kind of do. I don't know the exact in and outs of it, but I believe so.
Right, because I think it was shutdown line. Corey on Twitter. He
it was for sure. Sean Ferris, who's of Evolving Wild, he was tracking the zone entries and he was saying the Leafs are just doing nothing off the rush. I think they have like a couple chances off the rush from Matthews, maybe one from Tavares ish. There was that one in game one from Yarncroc, but like not much really. Oh, there was the Marner to Nice. Hey, there we go.
But, something he mentioned was low. So the Leafs have a 29.4% carry in percentage, right? And someone asked a very smart question on Twitter. Shout out to this random guy on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Said low carrying percentage means the team doesn't get a controlled entry most of the time and instead goes for dump and chase style hockey instead, right? When it's that low, yeah, it's usually dump and chase style hockey. So it's like the micro stats are backing up what we're seeing in our eyes, where it's like we're not making an effort. Not that they're like, that's the wrong word. It's like it's by design is what I'm trying to say. Not the effort. That's the wrong way of phrasing it. But it's by design that we want to be the dump and chase team in the playoffs for some strange reason. And hey, we're generating a lot off the cycle. But it's like you can attest to this as a goalie. It's really hard to stop rush chances. It's really hard to stop them because when
play people speed.
Are attacking downhill at you with speed, they don't have to be the fastest players. They're just still attacking downhill at you, and that puck comes cross crease. That's an easy way to score. That's an easy way for a guy to score, and it's a tough play for a goalie.
So the other part is that you're off the rush, you're more than likely to get a more clean shot off than off the cycle. Off the cycle, there's more likely to be a stick right in the way. Mm. There's more likely to be pressure, right? Like off the rush, you're actually able to just cleanly shoot, like as opposed to Lindholm having his stick right there where your follow through is hitting his stick and it's affecting the velocity of the shot, right? So there is that. That is a very good point too. So shall we get into, this is what I mean. Actually, I didn't even mean that. Look at that. Boom. Like this is a shot off the, what's it called? Off the cycle. And look, Brandon Carlo stick right in the way on that follow through, lowers the velocity a ton. And it's just an easy save, puck in the corner. No problem. What I wanted to, why I pulled this up. I didn't even realize it was next, but watch this play here. So Domi's able to get it up high. Edmondson over to Brody, slap shot into the corner. Why am I bringing this play up, Jason?
I don't know. You tell me.
The Leafs are not generating enough offense, correct?
That's correct.
Why on God's green? I understand. There's 25 seconds left. That's more than enough time. What's going on here? And for those listening on audio, listen on YouTube. How dare you? But what is going on here, it's a one-timer from TJ Brody. It's from Edmondson. The pass isn't that hard. It goes across. Brody has more than enough time and space here. There is a ton of time. There is like the entire country of Saskatchewan. No, the entire province of Saskatchewan between him and the nearest Bruin. And he's opting for a slap shot from the blue line. Like, we couldn't have created anything more with this. We couldn't have walked in a little bit. We couldn't have, like, just the simplicity of this play is an absolute offensive killer, in my opinion. And what happens? He somehow still hits the one Bruin that's not near him at all. Actually, it's a great job by Marchand to get in the lane. And it ends up in nothing, and the puck goes back the other way, and they break it out, actually.
Even if you rewind a little bit, if you rewind to, like, just before he receives the puck, I wonder if he looks up at all, because look at the direction he's staring at, though. Look who's attacking downhill, where if you just – no, but not even that. Look at Max Domi. He has a direct lane to the net.
It would have been tight, but either way, his head's not up. It's not up at all.
So
he's just head down, hammer time, baby.
You have a ton of options there, and you just opt for that. It's just not the best.
It's like, again, well, where did you play hockey? What do you guys? Why are the Leafs not creating offense? I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're not tough enough. This is why they're not doing. And like, this is essentially what is going on. Here's the story. I went through the game and I had my eye out for shots that were blocked. How much fun do you think that was? This is what's
hashtag
going on.
Watch the game, bro.
Like, right? Head down clappers from the blue line when there is a mile between you and the next Bruin. That's what's going on. And the next one, I hope, is another one. Funny that these are back-to-back. This is kind of like breaking it down a little bit too far, I'd say. I'd classify it in that one. But again, why are the Leafs not getting offense? Like John Tavares finding shin pads here. Like, fuck off. Like, you had Mitch Marner. We're shooting when we should be passing and passing when we should be shooting. Or passing when we should be shooting. Yeah, correct. Why? Like, you had Marner here on the cross. He wins the puck battle for you off the rush. You get it from a pretty good area, and instead of even having his head up looking for being a smidgen more patient, he fires it on net, and it's blocked. Good opportunity, absolutely down the drain. But anyways, it was a flip pass. Marner's able to knock it free. Tavares gets it from a great angle, and it's blocked. It's a great block by Mason Lowry. Like, again, we got to give credit on all these plays. This is credit to the Bruins. The reason that the Leafs aren't scoring is they're making it more difficult. You have to get creative with the offense because they're doing a good job defensively shutting you down. Plays like this, like getting in the scoring lanes, like, I don't know, I really would have wished he would have passed that. Like, he was open, and he just didn't. And
it's frustrating.
It's frustrating to watch all of these. Anywho. What's the next play here? I don't even know. Oh, it's the same one we already watched. What was this one? I don't remember this one either. But let's watch it through, shall we? And I'll give some commentary. So John Tavares drives the net. Puck's poked away. No call on the play. Apparently there was supposed to be one. And okay, here it is. Just simplicity of offense. Like, here's the second play from a defenseman that I didn't love. And guess what it is? So a lot of people I'm seeing are saying, hey, the defense is taking care of business. We're not giving up many goals in 5-on-5. Like, it's all on the offense. Well, defensemen also need to make breakout passes. They need to be able to generate basic offensive plays, right? Keep cycles alive. Get shots through from the point. There's a lot of offensive implications that come from the defenseman. The defenseman is not just going to be a 6'4" monster that's cross-checking people in front of the net. You need them to be more than that, or else it's going to hamper you offensively significantly. This is another play here. The Leafs get it to the point. Like, you have Brody wide open here too, and hammer time, Joel Edmondson, baby. Nothing. Why are the Leafs not scoring? Joel Edmondson from the blue line, hammer time, baby, into traffic off our own guy, it looks like. Why are we not scoring? Like, just partially the defensemen are just firing. I don't want to call them pissmas because they're absolutely not piss missiles. Just firing like flutters from the blue line.
Bad shots, yeah.
Instead of actually making. And then look, the puck just goes back the other way. Kills a possession. Oh, actually, hey, Mitch Marner. Got it. And then it probably went back the other way. Either or. Regardless. I don't remember what this play was. This is probably the PK goal against, which we'll get into that. But again, like, how many defensemen do you have that are actually making plays? Like, Playoff Riley died, everyone. I'm sorry. Like, RIP to Playoff Riley. He was great from when we had him. Like, Morgan Riley hasn't been bad, and I see a lot of people, oh, they're winning their minutes, expected goals. Okay, they're getting like 80% offensive zone starts. Like, oh, wow.
They better be winning their minutes. If they're not winning their minutes, we have a problem. Like,
we do have a problem regardless. They're
we
not
already
scoring.
Have a massive problem.
Well, actually, Morgan Riley has one assist, but so shout out to him. But he's not fully, you know, not, he hasn't reached playoff Riley, which I think he won't, but that's okay. So
I think you're right.
Right. Just the, so as I've mentioned here so far, a summary, because we've been going through clips for a while here, the slowness of puck movement in the offensive zone, just not getting creative enough with the puck, not looking for passes and just fire on net. The defenseman, again, also not doing anything in terms of favors for you offensively, which is hampering you there as well, right? Just a few things to start it off. Like, you do need defensemen that can move the puck to help foster rush play, which you have Morgan Riley that can do that. Who else? Timothy Liljegren, but he was scratched this game.
He seems like he's in next game.
He is 100% in next game. You absolutely need him. Anyways, tough game for TJ Brody. Sucks. I hate criticizing him.
He's not seeing, he's done. He's probably not playing for the rest of the, like, however long this playoff series is.
He's probably not playing.
Because I think if we ever get to a situation where we have an opportunity to make another lineup decision and they're going to take Liljegren out, it's going to be, it almost has to be Mark Giordano at this point. I'm actually shocked. Maybe we'll finish up the clips before we get into this, but I'm shocked Mark Giordano isn't.
I wouldn't want Giordano either. Like, Giordano's kind of in the same boat as Brody.
I guess.
Unfortunately, over the hill. They were once a fantastic D pairing, and now it is what it is.
Yeah.
Let's get into PK goal number two, because apparently this is Marner's fault. I'll break it down. Is it Marner's fault? We'll see. Puck comes from Marchand along the boards up to the top of the blue line, up top to Charlie McAvoy here. McAvoy sends in to the middle to, I can't even send who, Coyle. I'm horrible at this play-by-play thing, but would have involved a lot more preparation for it. Anywho, puck ends up from coming back up top, Coyle back up top to McAvoy. McAvoy fakes the shot, passes over to Brad Marchand. Brad Marchand one-timer into the back of the net. What happened here? Why is our PK suck? What's going on here? I want to break down this first play. McAvoy to Coyle. Coyle over to Pastrnak. Pastrnak tries the... Yeah, he tries to go backdoor to JVR, who's standing in front of the net, but McCabe makes a great block. Keep that in mind. That's the second part. Marner then pressures Charlie Coyle. Coyle sends it back up high, and then it goes McAvoy to Marchand, right? Correct. Trying to use as many words as possible for the audio people that don't want to support us on YouTube. What happens here? So that's a great play from McCabe to start. Mitch Marner gets, like, the body position and stick position of him on this play is terrible. I think he just gets overzealous on this one. His stick is not in the lane. I don't know what the hell that one hand little push is. Like, if you're going to push him, you better smoke him. And smoke them hard. I don't love this play from Mitch Marner. However, the other two parts to this play, the McAvoy to Marchand, what happens here? So I think Holmberg is a little bit too low. Like, who's Holmberg covering right here when you look at it? Like, is he covering Marchand? Well,
he's looking to cover the pass across. I think he just wants to be a body in the lane to cover the pass
across. Yeah, I'm fine with it, actually. That's fine. The issue that I have up here, Simone Benoit cannot be just standing there in front of the net. He's not taking away JVR here. He's not clearing the screen at all, which I don't even think he needs. He does not need to be doing that. But if you're going to be trying to defend the net front, that's the least you can do. If you're going to do the wrong thing, at least do it right, which he doesn't do it right. Anyways, but did you see how McCabe flared out there and block the lane? Simone Benoit's late getting there, he does not do the same at all. And then the last part, and the biggest part to me, where the hell is our goalie on this play? It's a good screen. If you look at it from the above angle, like, it's a double screen, you can't see anything, but oh God, dude, like, by the time he gets the Marchand stick, he's not even in the same area code. You have to fight through screens a lot better than he does. He's terrible at it. So it's a wide open net there. So it's only blame Marner, which I saw Biz do. I think that's just for likes and clicks, but it is what it is. Again, not good body position, not good stick position right there. But Benoit's not in a good position, and our goalie's doing something there. And that's all we got. You can take me off the screen there.
Yeah, you're good to go now. That was frustrating. I don't know. I don't think you got to just almost block out all the noise at this point because people are just actually just going crazy.
I don't want to talk about. Oh my god, that was the
so. Yeah,
the Jays are on. They finally scored 6 runs in the first time in forever. That talk about another Toronto team that can't generate offense. And that was the worst slide I've ever seen in my life from one of the Royals players. But
yeah, it is to wrap it up though. Good breakdown. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube if you're not, because if you and while you're here, leave a comment so you can win a free prize from SVP. But yeah, to wrap up, I guess that penalty kill.
They're gonna win.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say. You did a good job of it. I'm trying to. What am I trying to do here? I'm trying to segue. So I'm just gonna make this the segue right now. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beards all the way to hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. I did this last time. I'm going to continue doing this. If you want to bet on the Leafs to win their series, you can go over to playoff series props over on DraftKings.com. Series correct score. You bet the Toronto Maple Leafs to win 4-3, which is winning in game 7, which is the only possible outcome for them to win the series. You can get that at +800 over on DraftKings Sportsbook. Listen, I'm not recommending you play it, but if you're looking for the Leafs to win their series, that's where you can go find it here. You honestly would probably be better off just betting the Leafs and rolling it over. I haven't done the math, but again, you should probably just do the math for yourself and figure that one out. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Looking at it now, you might be better off. If you want to bet on the Leafs to win the series here, you might be better off rolling over that money than putting it on that +800. But do the math for yourself.
Yes.
I guess we'll talk about what we need to see next game.
Offense and Austin Matthews.
Do you think he plays?
I think he does not. I think we will see Wohl though. So
okay. Are you happy with that? Are you happy with that decision? Because I feel like.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
But hindsight is 20/20, but I feel like it should have been him from the start, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, the issue is you play the hot hand who was hot going into the playoffs.
That's true. But it feels like you got no confidence. Like, are you like, he hasn't done anything. Samsonov hasn't done anything for me to make me feel confident in him at all so far this series. Obviously, which is why he's like trending to being out, but.
He got pulled. He got pulled after the second period.
He's essentially for sure out, I guess, right? Like it's almost for sure.
Like they haven't announced it, but
you don't pull a guy.
Wohl didn't do any of the backup work. We'll call it, that they did. But anyways, so this was supposed to be a game 5 preview, and I talked a lot about game 4. But anyways, there was a lot more clips than I remembered clipping. So that's kind of why. But anyway, so what needs to happen in game 5? I guess what we just said. You need to get something off the rush. You need to generate some sort of speed through the neutral zone. The PK, we've been saying the same damn things every single time. Offensive zone penalties. How the hell does Marner, Nylander, and then Domi took a dumb one. But Marner, Nylander, offensive zone penalties can't happen. Domi, dumbass cross-checking can't happen. So those are two few things right there. You have Joseph Wohl starting.
Yep.
But it's going to be tricky to line match now because, and I'm very interested to see because Marner's been, it's been a lot of defensive starts for him. Tavares, Nyes.
I didn't think about right? that. Yeah, that's a really good
now point. You're putting them with Bertuzzi, Domi, who are 100% off offensive zone start guys. What happens there? Like who's going to start in the defensive zone for them? I really wonder.
That's a great point. It's, and now that you mention that, I'm shocked they didn't switch up like the, it almost makes sense to sit Ryan Reeves for the next game because then you could kind of utilize.
You think?
Keith Dewar, or sorry, Camp Dewar and Yarncrook and have that kind of be your third line where it's your defense only line.
I agree.
Right? And then you have Pontus Holmberg, Nick Robertson, and I don't know who else would come in. I guess Noah Gregor, like, I don't know, just as a fourth line. Like, I don't know. I don't know who the last guy would be, yeah. Right?
It would be like, Gregor.
So it'd be Gregor. And it's just like, you just use that as a fourth line because that's the only player you have left on your team.
That's everyone you have left.
Yeah, because that's a great point. I have no idea how they're going to utilize defensive zone starts. So far this series, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Matthew Nyes have 19 defensive zone starts. The Kampf, Dewar, Yarncrook combination, who've only played 3 games together and 6 minutes of ice time together, is used strictly as a defensive zone line. 11 defensive zone faceoff starts. And then Max Domi, Austin Matthews, Tyler Bertuzzi have 5. Kalle Yarncrook, Pontus Holmberg, Nick Robertson have 4. Then the rest of the lines who have any other possible line combinations have 1. And you have to assume that the Tyler Bertuzzi, Austin Matthews, Max Domi ones are all off icing. Probably the same with the Pontus Holmberg, Kalle Yarncrook, Nick Robertson was like, I could see 1 or 2 times where you throw them out there.
Maybe. Yeah.
But exactly. So that's a great point. And I have no idea how they're going to utilize it. And you're right. How are they going to line match? I'm so curious to see that because. Yeah. It feels like
now that top line is just a replacement of when like Marner's replacing Matthews. Before that top line was starting 80% in the zone in the offensive zone.
But that's a misuse of your best defensive player. That's the problem. But also at the same time, maybe it's like we don't care about defense right now. We need to fucking score. Like maybe that's the logic behind it.
Yeah.
Maybe
and you could like, say, Mitch Marner's been on the ice for 5 goals against this series. Yeah. Okay. It's been all on the PK. And last time I checked, Mitch Marner doesn't wear goalie pads. So that's part of it. He hasn't been great. There has been a couple goals that have been, questionable. Like I think it was game 2 that PK goal against. I wasn't too happy with what he did there. Actually, no, that was off of like Logan.
You can't blame.
There was one of them somewhere. And there was one of them in there somewhere, one or two of them. But again, like
teams are expected to score on the power play. That's going to happen. Like that's a crazy thing to say.
The goalie's expected to stop 1 or 2.
On the ice, he's been on for 2 goals for and 1 goal against. All right, that's a win.
Yeah, 5-on-5, correct.
5-on-5, yes. Sorry,
The power play needs to figure it out. I did notice, and they mentioned on the broadcast with the power play entry, there was a couple times they tried to go from it was Matthews and then to the left side over to Tavares. Bruins were just allowing that entry very shallow into the blue line. And then there was 2 guys that were swarming over or surfing. Yeah, swarming over is the correct term. And just essentially suffocating John Tavares along the boards there. And puck was going back the other way. The one thing Tavares has to recognize, you have to move that puck. The pressure is coming there. You have to move that puck. I don't care if you're throwing it around. If you could you're going to have a better opportunity to recover it because the other guy's coming in with speed as well from the other side. So there is that, like, you cannot just try to get the puck there and deke your way out of it, which he tried to do and it did not work. You saw Tavares got off. Bertuzzi came on. Bertuzzi, this zone entry monster all of a sudden, and it became more of an entry from the middle instead of from the left side. And there was a lot more space than they were able to get to Bertuzzi and then set up the cycle from there. But anyways, so the entries, you have to recognize when they're swarming you off the entry and move the puck quick. And also just they do that. We mentioned this a few games ago. They are going to swarm. You have to figure out how to make small, quick puck movements and like on net or with a screen in front, something or another. I don't know. They have Domi on the power play now, so let's. I don't know.
What might help entries, that? Maybe.
But if you're going Domi, Marner, Nylander, I don't know. I wouldn't have done that. I would have went with Bertuzzi, well, but it is.
Period. I think you're looking at it the wrong way. John Tavares should be off the first power play. I think that's honestly a given at this point, because I think he's one, like you mentioned, hampering our chances at entering the zone, because part of the setup of the drop pass and the whole reason why it works is because this isn't the Tavares part, but one, it causes the defense to essentially stop and stay where you are, and you're able to attack at them while you're moving their feet and they're not. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two is if they decide to pressure you and you're attacking mm-hmm. in the middle of the ice, you use the boards as your outlet pass, because if they're pressuring you, the boards are wide open. The problem is mm-hmm. when it gets to the boards, it dies. Almost every single time the puck touches John Tavares' stick on the power play in the zone entry, it dies. And listen, our power play has not been good. John Tavares is probably the best person to play in front of the net, but you need to be able to get into the zone consistently and reliably to score on the power play. That's a given. That is a given. And we saw the one opportunity, of course, the one opportunity where we had a great chance in the slot goes to Tyler Bertuzzi, and he just completely whipped the puck. I don't know if you remember that.
That was Nylander down low to Marner, and then Marner back passed up out top of the corner. It was a clean pass.
Wide open for the net. Great pass.
And he just missed it.
Listen, like Marner's not having a good game, but if Bertuzzi scores that, he's having a great game, right? So it's just those little things that make the difference, right? But again, I'm shocked that more people aren't talking about this. John Tavares has been horrible this series, and the biggest reason why is because he's ineffective at 5-on-5 in today's NHL. This year, he's been ineffective throughout the season. That's just true. His strength comes on the power play, and he's done absolutely nothing. He scored one goal. It was a really shitty goal that Linus Ullmark let in, short side. I don't know how it went in.
Clapper from there is a pretty good. It was a pretty good shot.
It was a good shot, but you know what? I think
low blocker. It was a great shot.
If you ask a Boston fan, they said that they probably should have saved that. So that's how I feel about it too. But again, whatever. At least he scored a goal. Other than that, he's been completely ineffective this series. He's killing our power play, entries. If I'm the coach, I take him off. He's our captain. He gets paid a buttload of money, but he's just been ineffective this season, this playoffs. It feels like, I don't know. Are we misusing him? I don't know. It's weird. Why is John Tavares, who's never shown an ounce of defensive ability in his body, playing the most defensive zone starts for our team? I don't know. Is this a failure of roster construction? Is this a coaching issue? I don't know. I feel like there's so much to unpack with this. It's just frustrating, but I don't think John Tavares has played well at all this year.
He's not good defensively also.
Neither is Matthew. Yeah, it's crazy, but
interesting.
I don't know. I don't
probably should have been figured out.
My brain has been in a blender all the past two. I told myself on Saturday, I'm not thinking about this team for the next 2 days. I'm just going to enjoy Tuesday and I have been unable to not think about it. I've just been thinking about it 24/7 and the multitude of issues that are layered into this team. And it all really starts with coaching. Really, it does. I'm going to lean into Sheldon Keefe here. Like, it starts with coaching I don't know. I'm all over the place. I'm going on a little bit of a tirade. We were talking about the power play. For me, it should be Tyler Bertuzzi. It should be Max Domi. It should be Mitch Marner, Nylander, and Riley or Liljegren, whoever you want. I don't care who's on D. Just for the simple fact of zone entry. So,
exactly. I agree. So we need a save. We need a goal. We need the special teams to figure it the hell out, because they have not. But yeah, I hope people enjoyed the breakdown, the clip breakdowns. Those, yeah, I don't know. I like doing them. So
it was good stuff.
Yeah. So we'll be back here after game 5, for better or for worse. Will be for better. I'm putting my personal guarantee on it. I just can't envision a world where I'm not watching the Leafs on Saturday. I'm sorry. But you got anything else?
That's it for me.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Go Leafs, go.